Praise the Lord.
Alleluia.
Glory to God.
Alleluia.
We talk about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is Lord. Praise God.
Alleluia.
In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
There are kings and presidents and dictators and leaders, and they demand obedience. In the past, many proclaimed themselves to be God, but they died like everybody else. There's only one name that is higher, the title that is higher, greater, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Even though Jesus had the very nature of God, he didn't consider equality with God. He took human nature as a servant. He humbled himself to die for men. Therefore, God exalted him. Because Jesus was willing to humble himself and be obedient to death on the cross, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name. Jesus willingly left the height of heights, laid aside the glory that he had with the Father. And from, he had that glory before the foundation of the world. And he took the form of a humble servant. His deity was not diminished or laid aside, but rather it was veiled during his earthly ministry. But verse 9 tells us that after the time of veiling, God restored him to the place of supremacy. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus went from height of heights to the depth of depths and back again to the height of heights. Jesus did not exalt himself, but the Father exalted him, thus putting his stamp of approval on Jesus' death as a satisfaction for the penalty of our sin. The exaltation of Jesus proves that he has defeated Satan, who could not keep Jesus in the grave. Man did not exalt Jesus. They cast insults and abuse on him. They jeered and spit upon him and called him names. But the Father gave Jesus the name above others' names. Just imagine people, they laughed at him, they cheered at him, and yet he was much higher than them. The name Lord, which is equivalent to the Old Testament name of God, Yahweh, a name so sacred, that the Hebrews would not pronounce it. When they were reading scripture, and they came to the word Yahweh, they would read Adonai instead, which means Lord. Jesus is Lord means Jesus is Yahweh. He is the Almighty God. This is what Paul meant when he quoted Isaiah 45:23, to me every knee will bow and every tongue swear allegiance. To whom? To God. Citing these verses, Paul says that every knee will bow to Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is the Lord. Peter affirmed the same truth on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Praise God. Any teaching, such as the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses are using, which diminish or deny the full deity of Jesus Christ, goes against the clear apostolic witness to Jesus. Jesus, who humbled himself to the death on the cross, has been raised up, ascended into heaven, and placed at the right hand of God the Father in the place of supremacy over all creation. They emphasize to universality of Christ's exaltation and lordship. Paul adds of those in heaven, on earth, and other beings. So every created being will submit to Jesus Christ. In heaven, the angels will bow willingly to Jesus. The angels are awesome creatures of great power and glory. The great angel Gabriel, who brought visions from God to the prophet Daniel, struck Daniel with such fear that he fell on his face. Another occasion, when Daniel saw the angel, he grew pale and lost all his strength. When the angel's hand touched Daniel, it set him trembling on his hands and knees and rendered him speechless. But that mighty angel Gabriel, he will bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ. On earth, those who have tasted his sovereign grace will bow willingly before Jesus. Others, including many of the mightiest, most powerful men who have ever lived, great kings, wealthy lords, evil drug lords, they will bow against their will, but they will bow. Under the earth, Satan and all his powerful demons, forces, will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. These demons, they have been granted tremendous power. The book of Job shows how Satan can move wicked people to commit slaughter. He can cause a powerful wind to knock down a house, and he can inflict a man with illness. Certain demons apparently have territorial power over whole nations, but they will all bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every tongue will confess the Lordship of Jesus to the glory of God the Father. We also have to understand that to honor Jesus is to honor the Father, because Jesus is God. Jesus said in John 5:22 and 23, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." The name of Jesus in every language is the highest name. Because Jesus and the Father are one, to glorify Jesus is to glorify the Father. God's glory is the aim of the eternal purpose of God. If people will not willingly give glory to God in this life, they will do so against their will throughout eternity. Because Jesus humbled himself through the cross, God has exalted him far above all, so that all will submit to Jesus as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So if Jesus is exalted as Lord, why does he still allow evil and suffering? Why doesn't he stop rebellion now? We can't ultimately answer the question. Why did God allow evil and sin in the first place? Except to say, it was a plan of his incrucible plan, and it results in greater glory of God than any other plan. To attribute evil to the fact that God gave freedom of choice to the angels, and later also to human beings, does not really solve the problem, because obviously God knew the sinful choices that would be made. He even ordained the cross before the foundation of the world. Before he planned the foundation of the world, already he planned the sacrificial death of Jesus, because he knew that people are going to sin. And yet, the Bible clearly affirms that God is not responsible for sin, and that he is apart from all sin. The Bible is equally clear that the current reign of Satan as God of this world and the abundance of evil in no way disproves the absolute logic of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot disprove it because he knows himself. The book of Revelation makes it clear that evil will abound and seemingly be winning the war right up to the end. Saints will be martyred. Wicked Babylon will be prospering right up to the end. And then, in one day, in one hour, God's judgment will destroy it. Revelation shows that the fact that evil abounds does not in any way thwart the plans of God or the triumph of Christ. The Bible also is clear that any delay of God's judgment is only because of his great patience in not wanting any to perish, but to bring all of his elect to repentance. The final salvation of God, the final salvation of God's elect, condemnation of the wicked, will demonstrate God's perfect justice and bring glory to him The Bible acknowledges the presence of evil, but also clearly affirms that it is in no way disproves the lordship of Jesus, who is God's perfect timing, who suppressed all evil and reigned in absolute triumph. How can we be sure that Jesus will triumph, especially when we see evil winning in our days? Scripture is clear that evil will seemingly be winning right up to the final hour. But God will intervene. The Bible is full of prophecies. Many prophecies were fulfilled in the birth, in the life, in the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Peter mentions that how the Old Testament prophets sought to know what time and manner the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glory to follow. The risen Jesus told the men on the road to Emmaus, "O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things to enter his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself from the scripture. Not only do we have the witness of the Old Testament prophets, we who spoke of Christ's suffering and glory, but also the witness of many apostles, men of integrity, who saw the risen Lord Jesus, who saw him ascend into heaven, and heard the witness of the angels who promised his second coming. Those witnesses went out and gave their life based upon what they had seen and heard. We can trust these witnesses. So we can know that even though it seems as if evil is winning, Jesus is risen and he is Lord. Glory to God. His kingdom will be established. And every man, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow to Jesus and confirm that he is Lord. Every tongue will confess. There is no other name that shall be praised. It says in Psalm 148:13, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens." His name is so great that even David wrote about this greatness of God. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven for men to be saved." While there are many names, there is only one name that counts. Many make themselves a name, but they will have to bow their knees to. Many deny the name of Jesus or are indifferent, yet for all eternity, they will confess that Jesus is Lord while they are in hell. Too late. Yet ever remorseful. Our duty as Christians is to praise the name of Jesus and give him glory. We have to give him glory. How can people stay at home and say, "I'm not going to the church, I'm not interested"? How can people say, "I have no time"? How can people say, "I'd rather sleep"? You don't give glory to God. If you're staying at home, you're not giving glory to God. Because you are to come and worship God together and give glory in his house. We give glory to His word. We give glory to Him by our words and by our deeds. Our deeds have to glorify our Lord. Praise and honor cannot be given when our mouths are shut. Therefore, we have to open our mouths and declare His Lordship wherever we are. Whether at work, whether in a telephone conference, whether on official contact, you can declare the praise of our Lord. Let the world know that Jesus is Lord. Let them know that Jesus is Lord. And let them know that they too have to bow their knees and confess that Jesus is King of Kings.